This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
All right, sick. Well, we are here, our first recording of 2025 with one of our favorite kids coming up in the scene right now, a kid from Grayson, Georgia, the one, the only, Duke Jones.
What's going on?
Duke, thanks for coming in and joining me, brother.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man.
How the hell have you been doing? How's life?
I've been great, man. Just seeing family. We just moved into a new house, so just trying to pack and everything.
You're up here in Nashville or your family?
I'm up here in Nashville.
Yeah. So where'd you move to?
Murfreesboro Pike.
Okay, yeah. I used to live over there.
Oh, really?
I lived on Una Antioch, which was like right over there by like Nashboro Village and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was down there during COVID. I was renting a room from a buddy, but that's not a bad spot because you're not too far from town.
No, I'm like 10 minutes, so it's like, I'm near Trevecca, and Trevecca's where I used to go to school, so it's like I kind of know the area.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So you've been up here for how long?
A year and a half, maybe.
Okay, so you went to Trevecca. I'm guessing you didn't finish there.
No, I went to Trevecca for about a year, really a semester, and then I kind of just like it just wasn't for me, at all. So I kind of dropped out.
I mean, I'd say it's working out for you.
Yeah.
You know, what'd you go to school for? Like, what were you wanting to do?
It was commercial music, but the classes they had me taking were like opera, and it was just I'm in Nashville, so it's like, oh, I'm gonna be singing freaking Alan Jackson or George Strait in class, but no, it's like opera music, and it wasn't for me. I don't know why I thought it'd be like that.
Yeah,
but it just I was never really the best at school, and so I kind of thought to myself, like, I'm in Nashville, I want to be an artist, I haven't written any songs, like, really, what am I doing here?
Yeah,
so I kind of took a step back from school. As dumb as that sounds.
No, it's not dumb. Well, the thing is, making that decision to go to Trevecca is what brought you up here.
Yeah.
So it all worked out.
Yeah, true. And I've made some of my closest friends go in there, my roommates. So, I mean, I'm grateful for that opportunity that I went there. But it's like, would I rather wait 4 years and be in $60,000 worth of debt?
Yeah.
Or start now and be in 1 year worth of debt? You know,
yeah.
It's like, I'm going to do the same thing I'm doing now 4 years later. You know, so I kind of just started now.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'd say it's, like I said, it's working out for you. And it's, you're how old? You're what, 21?
19. 22,
you're 19.
Yeah.
You're a baby boy.
Yeah.
Shit.
That'd be 20 in about a month.
Not
even a month.
I forgot how young you were.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So you're like going through it now.
Yeah.
It's, you're getting like your college experiences now, being a young songwriter and a young artist.
Yeah.
In Nashville.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, I've always wanted to go to college just because I thought that's what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm much happier without going to college.
Yeah, and it's like you're still taking the time that you would go into classes and doing all the shit that you would have been doing at Trevecca. You're doing that now, getting into writing rooms.
Right.
Playing, your night classes are playing R Rounds or playing Whiskey Jam or something at night, or doing a pop-up show at the Basement East or the Basement or the Exit Inn or wherever, going on the road is like your semester projects. Like, everything that you're doing could be like curriculum.
That's true.
You're at Nashville University.
Yeah. I didn't think about it like that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So for you, when did music become like this? I want to be Duke Jones, the artist. I want to write songs. I want to do this shit.
Shoot. I mean, I've been playing guitar since like 2021. That's around the time where it's like I started listening to like other country music other than just like radio. Because my truck, I had a truck. It was like 04 Dodge Ram.
Ooh,
older
classic.
Than me.
That's a big boy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't have an aux cord or nothing. So, I just listened to the radio. So, like, that's the way I listen to music. And, you know, I played lacrosse in high school, so I'd go to school, listen to the radio, listen to Kincaid in Dallas, 101.5, and that was the show I listened to. And then I'd stay at school until about 7 at night, drive home, shower, eat, go to sleep, school the next day. So, like, that's the only time I could really listen to music was, like, on the radio.
Yeah.
And so when COVID happened, you know, I kind of switched what I started listening to. It was more like Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan, Coulter Wall, like that type of vibe.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to play their songs. Like, that's so cool to me. And so I begged my mom to get me a guitar, and she got me one, and I just sat in my room and learned by myself a bunch of easy Zach Bryan songs. So
yeah.
That's kind of where it started.
Yeah, and you talk about like the age of where you're at, like turn you're 19, so you're 15 years old when COVID hits.
Yeah, 15, 14, yeah.
You're 14, 15 years old when the world shuts down. Yeah. I can't imagine being that young and just the world shutting down, like being a freshman, sophomore in high school,
yeah,
being like, oh, fuck. I mean, granted, you're in Georgia, so yeah, things are a little different down there.
Right.
And Grayson's in what part of the state?
It's about, it's where John Lakeson's from, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went to the same high school.
Okay, so yeah, that's near like Loganville yeah, and that whole area. Because yeah, I know like I'm good buddies with like Jordan Rager, Nick Haynes. There's a lot of guys that have come out of there. Like that's yeah, just a hotbed that breeds
yeah,
songwriters and football players and UGA and Georgia Southern frat guys. And like that's a cool spot to grow up.
That's a little bit of everything there.
Yeah, because you're not too far from the Carolina border, right?
No, like I'd
Clemson
say,
and stuff isn't super far.
No, Clemson, I just played a frat show there.
How was that?
It was sick, dude. We opened for Brian Martin.
Oh, so I love Brian, bro.
It was sick, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, the frat shows are a lot of fun, too. And again, that's like you're technically a college dropout. Yeah. And that's going to be part of your origin story. And there's a lot of guys and girls that have gone that path, and that's part of who they are. But you're still getting, like I said, the college experience to where you're going and you're playing these frat shows.
Yeah.
Was this your first one that you've done?
Dude, it's the first frat I've ever been to.
Oh, I mean, really?
Yeah, and it was...
Because you don't have frats at Tribeca.
No. We have, like, Lightsaber Club and... those are frats.
Yeah, Quidditch Club, yeah, shit like that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was sick. My buddy knows a guy who runs the frat.
Which frat was it?
Alpha Sigma Pi, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could, like, see the stadium from there. It's like a... They had, like, a big stage in their backyard.
And most of the good Southern frats do.
Yeah, and then they had, like, a fence, and, like, you could see the stadium and like the tailgates and everything, and like when the game was over, people were walking by just listening to us. And yeah Mac Easton, the do you know him?
Oh, I know Mac very well. Yeah,
he texted me, I posted it, and he texted me. He was like, I didn't know you were there, like I walked by that frat and I heard someone singing. So it was pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah, Mac's good people, man. He's part of like the, we always say that like Nashville, you have like these classes of kids that move up here, guys or girls that move up here, whatever age. And Mac is kind of part of the class that got here just before you and Zach and a lot of your boys got here, which is cool. He's like the class ahead of you. Yeah. And he's a good friend of ours, and he spent years on the road. He was just with Logan Crosby. He's going to be with Josh Ross this year, which is going to be fucking huge for him.
Yeah.
But that's cool that you've made connections with some of the guys that have been here a little bit longer than you.
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot, like Jack Routon. That's my boy. That's the first co-write I did.
And he's in the same class as you because he got here right around that same time, bro. I love Jack, man.
He's killer. Him, like, Jack was the first guy when I was actually trying to do music and pursue it. I was looking for co-writes, and I don't know why. I took a shot in the dark, and I heard Sober, and I DM'd him. And I was like, hey, dude, I'd love to write with you.
Yeah.
And he took a chance on me, and we started writing, and now we're just locked in. You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. And he's another Georgia guy, too.
Yeah, he is.
And it's funny, the first time I met Jack, because we have the similar background to when I was tour managing for Trey, I got thrown into it, and it was just chaos, and it was wild. And he's obviously, his first tour manager gig is with his good buddy, our good buddy, Gavin Adcock. And I grabbed coffee and breakfast with him one morning and kind of gave him the lowdown of like how to TM like a rocket ship that's just crazy like that. And he's been a good buddy of mine ever since. Jack's a great guy to know, man.
He's awesome. Him and Jack Hummel.
Oh, Jack, dude, I've known me and Jack Hummel used to hang out and kick it at house parties during COVID, bro.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Him and I have been in the same smoking circle many times. Yeah. That's good people, man.
Yeah,
and he's another guy that's just going back to his connections with guys like Corey Kent and people just over the years that have been in town.
Yeah, dude, I love writing with them. If there's anybody that it's like, who would you want to write with in town? Like, they're probably first on my list. Like, no doubt about it. It's just, like, we wrote one song called Prove Me Wrong. And after that, we were just like, hey, let's get Jack back in here again. And we started writing out just bangers, like sad song after sad song after sad song. And it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, what a lot of your stuff has been kind of that. Like, you can kind of tell you're wise beyond your age musically.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick and I always talk about that. Like, you're one of our favorite kids. I'm not just saying that because you're right here and you're wearing one of our hats, which we appreciate you wearing the fuck out of our stuff,
dog. Wear it.
You do. And we appreciate that. Yeah. But, like, your sound is very reflective of a kid that's growing up in this time when you have the Coulter Walls, the Zach Bryans, the Tyler Childers resurgence, like that Americana, very songwriter, like the lyrics really fucking matter more than ever.
Yeah.
And you hear that in Love You More Than Yesterday and Matches and Gone and all those songs. So what's that kind of been like with coming up in this era?
Dude, I don't know. It's just, I was a big Zach Bryan guy. And it's, you know, Zach Bryan's songs are not like complex at all. It's like four chords, maybe five. But it's the lyrics that get you, and people can relate to that. And
what was the first Zach Bryan song where you're like, I'm fucking in?
Oh, shoot.
Or it could even be the record, if you remember which album it was
quite, on. It was about, I found him a few days after, of course I knew Heading South.
Yeah.
But like I dove into him was like, I think 3 days after Quiet Heavy Dreams dropped.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, okay, I'm in. You know, yeah. I remember I was in Spanish class just listening to him, not listening to a word the teacher was saying. I was already almost failing. So I was like, you know what? I'm just, it is what it is. You know? So I remember that like very clearly. And that was the album I was like, all right, I need to go back and listen to the rest of them. And I guess, I don't know. I'd say Leaving was the one that stuck out to me the most.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah. And he's a guy that's his path to where he's at is very different.
Yeah.
You know, he had to get excused from the military to come and play the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah. That's wild.
A few years ago. Yeah. Have you been to a Zach Bryan show?
I have. Yeah.
Dude, that's what sold me on him. Because originally when I was listening to the records, I'm like, I don't get it. You know, like flat out, I don't know if it's an age gap thing or what. I don't get it. Yeah. And then I saw him, Nick and I were lucky enough to see him twice in 2023, and it was like, holy shit, like the live show just does it.
Dude, Revival.
Revival live, and we saw him in the two places that we saw him at Rock the South.
Okay.
On a big festival in Coleman, Alabama, and then we saw him play the Auburn Rodeo. And Auburn Rodeo, I guess, was like the cheapest ticket to see him that year. So people flew in from all over the world to go to fucking Opelika, Alabama. I don't know if you've ever been down to Auburn.
No.
It ain't a place where most people will be flying in from fucking Sweden and Washington and all
Sweden?
These places. Yeah, there were international. Oh, we were selling our merch at the tent, and there were people with like different accents. And we're like, you're not a kid at Auburn. Like, no, we flew in for Zach Bryan. It was cheaper for us to fly in from Sweden and see him here than it was to see him at like an arena
or
a stadium, which
was
nuts. Yeah. And but just seeing like the reaction of not just the girls at the show, but it was like girls on guys' shoulders, guys on guys' shoulders. It was like for the chicks and for the bros. And we're like,
oh yeah.
And his band is just so
they're nuts.
Good, dude.
They're nuts. Dude, I remember the first time I saw him, it was opening up for Luke Combs.
Oh.
And that was crazy. That was in
was that Mercedes?
It was
in Atlanta?
Mercedes, yeah. Yeah, that was wild. And then, you know, I had to go see him again, and so I bought another ticket. And it turns out that I saw him play at, what is it? It's like Gas Amphitheater or something like that in Duluth, Georgia.
Okay.
Gas South, I think is what it's called. And I saw him play there, and I was graduating like a week later. And I didn't realize that I was graduating in the same place that he played. Like, I saw him play.
Wow.
And that was wild to me. I was like, dang, I just saw Zach Bryan, and then I'm going and graduating in the same place. It was pretty cool.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's really cool, dude. Yeah, those, he's a, it's like he started like a whole like subculture of music of kids that have come up.
Yeah.
Like yourself included that. But I don't think of your sound as like our buddy Grady Smith calls them Zacholites.
Yeah.
I forget the exact term, but he always refers to like the Sam Barbers of the world and a lot of kids that have come up. Like there's a kid out of Michigan, I forget his name, Edward something or other. But your sound isn't like like it definitely has those elements to it, but it's its own unique thing. Like you do a good job with the production and everything, to where it's like, I know this is a fucking Duke Jones song, which I give you a lot of credit for. It usually takes years to figure that shit out, bro.
Yeah, and that's really what I've been focusing on, really, is like, I know I'm not going to be Morgan Wallen. I'm not Zach Bryan. I'm not whoever it is. Like, I'm Duke Jones, and so it's like, I need to, like, I obviously take inspiration from other people, but it's like making it my own way. And like, I honestly haven't really had trouble with distincting the two. It's like I just write whatever I'd like to hear. Honest, that's what I tell people. It's like I'll write whatever I like to hear.
Yeah,
like I don't care if it's like upbeat, slow, whatever it is. It's like if I would put this on in my car and listen to it driving down the road, I want to write that type of music because it relates. People relate to it. It's like I was talking with my girlfriend's brother yesterday, and he's like, "You have no idea how much I listen to Matches." And it's like, not just because you're my girlfriend's brother. It's like I like the song and I can relate to it, and like that's all I care about is just stuff like that.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, what's it been like? The feedback because you've gotten. You got to cross off. I don't know if how big of like a goals guy you are. I guess being a former athlete, you have goals and you have that drive, which I think gives a lot of guys and girls an advantage. If you grow up playing a sport, it helps you in this music game.
Yeah,
you know, I think so. Especially once you hit the road, it's like a show day is like game day. You know, and you get psyched up and you do all that. But you got to headline a show here in Nashville. You got to headline Eddie's Attic and sell a fuck ton of tickets down there your first time and. You got to put out some great songs. Your streaming numbers are solid for a kid in the position that you're in. But looking back, how big was 2024 for you?
Dude, it was huge. I mean, it was all, like, because when I released that first song, it was like I knew I wanted to do music, but it was like I was still enrolled in school. So it was like, you know, I'm just going to drop this song. And then it did way more than I thought it would. I thought it was going to do like 5,000 streams. And I would have been so happy with that. But it's almost at 2 million now. I think it's like 20,000 away from it, and so you know it's been awesome. And then once I heard the feedback from that song, I was like, okay, people are listening and they like it, and it's like, and like I know this is what I'm supposed to do, so it's like might as well go all in.
Dude, what was your favorite part of 2024, or what's like a moment where you're like, this was a big moment that I'm gonna look back on, no matter how big I get, I'm gonna look back on like this fucking moment.
Dude, definitely Eddie's Attic. That was sick. Cause right before we went on, we were all, you know, have you seen the green room in there?
Yes.
It's so small.
Yeah, dude. Oh my gosh. It's a songwriter's room, man. Yeah,
it's so small, but it's like you look up and there's like a bunch of blocks on the wall, and it's like John Oates, the Steel Drivers, Tyler Childers. It's like all these
everybody big has played them, man. It's a building block.
Yeah. And I looked up at that and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to play this. And I sold it out. Like it was wild to me. It was crazy. I didn't realize how famous that place was.
Yeah.
And then I think the owner came up to me and he was like, there's no way you sold this out. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, Luke Combs didn't do this the first time. And I was like, whoa, like what? And like, I'm so new to this. Like all this just feels like I asked one of my guys, I was like, is this normal to happen? Like first song. And he's like, no, it's not normal. So it's like, I'm kind of still new to this. And I don't even know what's going on, man. I'm just doing what I'm doing. It's crazy.
It's wild, man. Yeah. And there's so many like historic rooms in Georgia specifically. Yeah. Like, I can't wait to hear how the Blue Room in Statesboro treats you when you eventually get down there.
Yeah.
And the kids at Georgia Southern are some of my favorite in the world. Mm-hmm. I love Statesboro holds a special place in my heart, you know, going to like the Georgia Theater or 40 Watt in Athens, going to Ned Kelly's formerly Capital City in Milledgeville, going down to even the little shithole dives like Saddlebags in fucking Savannah. Like you're going to get to tour that whole market. And it's like Eddie's Attic is right there in the conversation with those. So to put up a sellout, your first show, and that was a Peachtree show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's it? You've gotten to know Bradley Jordan and some of the folks in that. Yeah. What's that been like kind of getting to meet some of these folks that have worked with the Luke Combs, the Wallins, the Hardys?
Cool.
Like
awesome.
What's it been like some of the folks on that side of it? Your first time go around, like getting to meet some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't really know because, like I said, I'm still new to this, and it's like I didn't really know who they were.
Yeah,
and like I just knew like they booked shows, and then like after I meet, I don't like to know who someone is before I meet them because it's like I'll get intimidated. Like
really,
I'll get scared.
Yeah.
So it's like after I like to go back and look, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
I shook that guy's
hand. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So I mean, it's been really cool. Rowden introduced me to him.
Yeah.
He was like, we're going to put you on a show, DM me the next day, and then you put me on that Eddie's Attic show, and so it's been awesome.
That's sick, man. And what do you have as far as a team around you right now?
Shoot.
Because, again, you're just figuring it out. Yeah. Like, you have and your live, your full band show, bro, is awesome. Thanks. Very excited to have you next week playing our Wednesday anniversary show, dude.
Yeah, man.
My favorite, like, Duke Jones, there's a couple that stand out in the little while that I've known you, was one, getting to meet you and Zach coming up being like, hey, how do we get on this? And maybe like, hey, I've got this little round at the Rusty Nail, this cigar, the Rhythm and Smoke night, and then you guys coming and playing that. But then I remember we had you guys full band and you guys showed up in the fucking in the coveralls, in the overalls. I was like, all right, These boys get the vibe. They understood the assignment, and you boys fucking rocked it. And seeing what you're doing, but as far as a team being around you, like, what do you got? Who you got in your corner?
Honestly, I have a pretty solid team. So my high school teacher, he had a music class, and it was like music business, and this was like a totally separate school. So I went to Grayson High School.
Yeah.
And it's like Grayson High School's right here.
Yeah.
And then there's Grayson Tech right next to it. And Grayson Tech is like exclusive. Like, you got to like sign all these waivers and like submit an application to get into it. And it's like, you can't just walk over. And they've got people from like all over the county, like far away to come in. And they've got like culinary and FBI classes.
Fuck. Yeah. All right.
They've got a bunch of stuff.
They ain't messing around in Grayson. No,
yeah. So I took that music class, and, you know, my teacher, he's not one to be like, oh, yeah, I've done this and this and this, and I know these people. And so after, when I was trying to do music, I hit him up, and I was like, look, I'm trying to do music. You're the only person I know in music. Could you help me?
Yeah.
And so he hooked me up with United Masters for a distribution deal, and just hooking me up with a bunch of people, a bunch of teams, and yeah, he's been the guy so far. And as of recently, I'm working with Vincent's managers, Kyle and Matt.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Great dudes.
Yeah. They've been helping me a lot recently.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Those are good guys. And Vincent's another one that I remember coming to town. We've had him on a few rounds. I'm working on, it's funny, him and I had talked like beginning of last year, him being like, man, I really want to get on your podcast. And now it's like trying to get a hold of him. The line that I saw him at Red Door the other night, and he gave me his number finally. And so we're working on getting Vincent on here.
Yeah.
But that's a great team of guys that know how to let somebody be them and just put gas on the fucking fire, dog.
Yeah, man. And Vincent's been a big inspiration to me too.
Yeah.
And I finally got to write with him the other day. And how was that? It was awesome, man. It was awesome. Cranked out a heater. So
Yeah, you're coming up in a fun time in country music.
Yeah.
Where you can really be yourself.
Yeah. Authentic, yeah.
Yeah. Very authentic. And it's like everybody is and specifically like coming out of Georgia, Georgia's always been a hotbed. I mean, it's the birthplace of fucking bro country.
Yeah.
You know, which you were a little young for that. Now the age, it's like, I remember drinking Fireball at a tailgate and going to an FGL show. I think I've seen FGL like a dozen times. Like, it was a fun chapter. 2012 to like 2016 was a blast, you know, like it was a good time. But now it's like Georgia's credited with that. But then now you've got guys like Gavin Adcock coming up, which is a different style from what you do. You've got like the songwriter side where it's like guys like you and Jack coming up. Like, there's the Castellos, like Meg Maroney. Yeah. Like, it's a long list of guys and girls coming out of Georgia right now. So what's it like to kind of be a part of this chapter of Georgia country music?
You know, it's funny. I hear that all the time, but it's like the first person I met, because I moved to Nashville and I'd play on Broadway. That was my job. So I'd play.
Where'd you play?
Like Rippies, Tootsies.
Oh, you were in the Tootsie circuit. God bless you. You're a survivor.
I'm out of there now.
Congrats on getting out, dog.
Yeah.
That ain't easy. That's a way to make some cash, though.
I mean, depends on the day. I mean, shoot.
This time of year, a little tough.
Oh, yeah.
Dead season, tough.
And it was like, I was playing the worst gigs, too. It was like Tootsie's back room on a Tuesday morning.
Ooh.
At like 10 a.m.
Just getting reps.
Yeah, it was awful.
Playing to the bartenders.
I hated it. It was bad. But it was also like, I kind of loved it at the same time because, you know, I learned a lot there. But I didn't know anybody from Georgia, like, when I was doing that. And I was doing that for about a year. And the first person I met from Georgia in the music industry was Routon. And so I met him, and then I met all these other people, and it's like, oh, you're from Georgia too. And it's like, I didn't know anybody was from Georgia.
That's like 30% of the industry is from fucking Georgia, dog.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm proud of it. I mean, I'm glad I'm from Georgia.
But you're a Tennessee fan, which I love that. We got to get into that.
Well, I'm more so a UGA hater than anything.
Hey, yeah. What why is that?
I'm a Georgia Tech fan.
Oh, okay. So you claim their biggest rival.
Yeah.
You claim the biggest SEC rival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why that's why I like Tennessee. My dad's his SEC team is in Tennessee, so
okay,
and moving down here or up here is just like you know, might as well.
That's cool. Have you met my buddy Cody Parks? I don't know if you would have met Cody.
No.
So Cody was a kicker at Georgia Tech.
Okay,
and he has like a Southern rock. It's called they call it country metal, and it's like 80s hair metal meets like. Meets country.
Yeah.
It's like all over the place. It's a lot of fun. But
cool.
he's from Monroe and he played football at Tech back in the day.
That's awesome.
So I do know some Georgia Tech fans.
Yeah.
Tough game this year. You guys, that was as good of a Tech UGA game, like the good old fashioned hate game, as I've seen.
And next year we're gonna be good though.
I think so.
We got two wide receivers from FIU. They're studs.
It's been a while since Tech's had great wide receivers, but Megatron, one of the greatest of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And I grew up a big Virginia Tech fan. I grew up watching those George, like Jonathan Dwyer, like the fucking the greats at Tech. Was it Stephen Hill, I think, was another wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like Georgia Tech's no slouch at football historically.
No, I mean, but it's so frustrating because like we'll win like – against all these ranked teams, like the games where we should not supposed to be winning, and then it's like you'll go lose some knockoff team.
It's like the start of the season against Notre Dame.
Yeah,
in fucking Ireland.
Yeah,
as big of a road game as there could be. You're playing Notre Dame in fucking Ireland. You win that game.
Yeah,
or was that Notre? No, it wasn't.
No,
Notre
it was
Dame.
Was Florida it State.
Florida State. Oh, Florida State. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Florida State. I'm thinking fucking Ireland. It's got to be.
No,
Notre
we got killed by Notre Dame. But we could have had a really good season if our quarterback did get hurt. And I know that's the excuse everybody uses, but he's a stud. Like, have you looked into him at all?
Yeah.
Haynes King, dude.
Yeah.
Stud.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully Tech will do it. Hopefully you can get down and play some Georgia Tech frats this year.
That'd be sick.
That'd be cool to go to.
Yeah.
What's it like? What are Georgia Tech games like?
It's chill.
They're chill? They're very not like Athens at all?
It's like, I've never been to Athens, though.
Really?
So I can't speak on that. But it's like going to a high school game. It's like nobody's loud at all. It's like
small town.
Yeah, stands are barely filled up, but it's fun and I enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah, because it's what there's like an old car. Is that the Georgia Tech thing?
Yeah, Ramblin' Wreck.
Ramblin', what is it?
Ramblin' Wreck.
Ramblin' Wreck.
Yeah, yeah, it's an old car. I went to my first NFL game over the last week.
Oh, the Titans?
No, Bucks.
Oh, the Bucks. Oh, you were down in Florida.
Yeah,
right.
I was in Tampa.
How was that?
It was cool. I've never been to Tampa. It was really cool.
Tampa's a cool city, man.
Yeah, I loved it.
Tampa's fun. I like Florida, the state of Florida.
Yeah.
What brought you down there?
My girlfriend's family lives there.
Nice.
So went down there with them.
Look at you racking up the brownie points. Hanging out with the girlfriends. How long have you and her been together?
5 months, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's awesome.
Because I noticed like the folks that come out to watch you play, like kind of like your crew of like your people, and I noticed her starting to come around like middle of this year. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Very supportive.
Good
she's
for
awesome.
You. Is she in music?
No, she does hair.
Isn't that great though to have somebody that isn't in music to kind of like get a break from shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I could ever date anybody in music.
Dude, that's been my policy forever. That's like a Raised Rowdy thing that Nick and I talk about. We're like, you got to try to be, like, luckily my girlfriend works for the government, you know, as far away from music as possible. But she loves music and she'll come out to shows and do all that. But it's nice to have, like, that break at home where they're not quite in the music. What do your parents do?
My dad's a youth pastor and my mom's a teacher.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So were you doing music in church?
Here and there, like that was one of the things my dad told me. He was like, if you're gonna get a guitar, then I want you to actually learn, and then when you learn, I want you to come lead worship for youth and play on Sundays. And so that's what I did back home.
Oh, so you did do that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another big thing that I think creates so much like musical talent, especially at a young age in the South. So where I'm from, church, there is no guitar. There's old people in a choir singing. It's very like, I didn't grow up Catholic, but as close to Catholic as you can be without being Catholic.
Right.
You know, it's old. It's that kind of, it's still different. Down here, the balance, the bringing in of like music into the worship and the fellowship is huge. I mean, that's how FGL met.
Yeah.
Florida Georgia Line. They were put together by the pastor, the worship leader at Belmont, and he stuck the two of them together, and they were leading worship, if you can believe it. That's how FGL started. Yeah, they were both guys involved in worship at Belmont.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been, like, my dad's a youth pastor, so it's like we'd always go to these church camps and do whatever, but, like, music has been the thing that's like, what's your favorite part? And I'm like, the music. Like, I love it. There's a church here called The Belonging.
Okay.
And they have, if you go on Sunday, their music is...
Oh, so it's some of the best players in the world play at the churches here in Nashville. Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
Crazy. The production, I joke around, I call it Rockstar Church. Like, it's like you're getting a concert with the church element.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind because I just didn't grow up around it. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, dude,
that's like a huge skill. It's like coming up playing, it's just, you can get on a stage at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that start playing in church at like 10 years old.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
which is wild. So what? So growing up in New York, I know a lot about lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you play on the lax field?
Midi.
You were midi. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were fast.
I was a speed demon.
You were a speed demon.
Yeah, I was the fastest on the field.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll be humble about a lot of things, but no, not that.
Because lacrosse, like growing up, we had like growing up in like a New York City suburb.
Yeah.
Like, you have some incredible laxers where I'm from, dude. We would hold like the state tournament at my high school some years, and like the kids would come in from Long Island, and like you have kids that are going and playing at like the Hopkins and the Dukes and the UNCs and the UVAs, and like lax is, it's a very intense game, man.
Oh, dude, I love it. I wish there was like a men's league down here I could find so I could just go back and
fastest
play
sport on 2 feet, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. How'd you handle, like, because you're not like the biggest dude. A lot of laxers aren't, but it is a very contact. It's a collision sport.
Oh yeah,
like you're getting fucking smacked.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you handle that?
Just run out of there.
Just run. Just move so fast they can't catch you.
Just run. That's all you can do is just run.
Move fast. Keep your head in a swivel and cradle the fuck out of the ball to hold on to it.
And we weren't like a big team at all. But we had a bunch of fast guys. That's why we were so good. It's just like, and we weren't the best team, but it's like we could hold our own for sure.
Yeah.
It's just, all it is just moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lax bro culture, man. Yeah. But the flow, did you have, I know you have like a little bit of flow. Did you have like the lax flow,
dude,
when you were?
I got to show you a picture after. It was like, I had a mullet. So it was like, all this hair up here, shaved sides, curly mullet.
You got to bring back the mullet, bro.
Down here.
You got to bring it back.
Man, I might.
I don't know what the hairdresser girlfriend would think of it. Maybe she can cut it for you.
She's told me specifically, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
No.
I feel like we gotta see.
Yeah.
A Duke Jones mullet.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sick.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool. So as far as this year, what are we looking at? We're now in 2025. You've got 3 tracks out. You've gotten to play some shows. I'm sure you've got quite a bit more recorded in the tank. Mm-hmm. I saw you teasing some stuff recently.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Was it one that your buddy that's like a track guy was just throwing like auto, like you tease something. Yeah, you tease something. I actually didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. I was like, all right, Duke's in a different direction.
Yeah.
We're going to need tracks at the duck blind.
People thought that was serious. I posted it and they were like, are you serious? Like, please tell me you're not. No, so I had to post the actual clip.
Yeah, which song. I like that one a lot too.
Yeah, but yeah, man, we just got our home studio built.
Okay.
It's, I had an extra room in our house, and so we put a bunch of couches in there, and the vocal booth is the closet.
Oh,
it's
sick.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's awesome.
So you can just cut whenever you want.
Yeah, we've probably got about 20, 30 songs that we have, you know, recorded, just need to be finished and post-produced and all that. So I'm looking about, like, 6-week mark for releases, because I've got about a year and a half worth of music.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you're ready. Do we know when the next one could be coming?
Sometime this month.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hoping towards the end of January.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. And then what goals do we have for this year? Like how can 2025 live up to what 2024 was?
I mean, I'm not really in a rush to do anything, honestly. It's like, I love to play shows. So it's like, if anybody wants me on the road, that's really what I want to do.
You
like,
want to go on the road
this year? I don't want to be home at all. I want to go out on the road. I want to travel.
Hell,
I
want
to play shows. Like, I'm open to that. So if like anybody wants to get me on a show, you know, get me on. And I've talked to my band members about it, and they're feeling the same way. Like they want to get on it. So that, and just releasing music, and I want to play CMA Fest. Like I want to be a part of that this year, because that I went last year. And that's
it's overwhelming. It's a lot of shit.
It is a lot.
There's a lot going on. Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool. It's like I just really want to be a part of that. But that's a goal of mine. I don't really have too many goals right now. It's just, it's really like release music, you know, get this done. But that's one of the goals. I was like, okay, I want to play CMA Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be sick, man. Yeah. CMA Fest is fun. My first CMA Fest experience, I was working on Broadway. Mm. I don't know if I told you this. I used to be a bouncer on Broadway.
Where at?
At Whiskey Row. Okay. There's Bentley's Bar. I was the door guy there my first year in town. So kind of how you spent your first year in town, I spent my first year in town, downtown as well. And it was a little different in 2018, but it was still a chaotic mess of just stuff. What? How long has it been since you've played a gig down there?
5-6 months maybe. Yeah, it's been a while.
What was the last one?
Dude, I think last one, I mean, there was a stretch where it was like, I'm playing for like two people in the bar.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't really know, because I'm making $75 a day for like, and it was just, so I think that was the last one, like Tootsie's Backroom.
Okay.
I was like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've also heard a bunch of stories about how, like, I don't want to drag anybody under the bus, but it's like, that circuit is like,
it gets tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's good to get reps when you're young. And there's so many guys and girls that play that when they're 18, 19, when they're like just starting out to get reps. Cause that's the best part about it, is that you're getting reps. And when you're playing, when you play like 4 hours to nobody, playing a 30 minute set opening up for somebody, or eventually a 60 or 90 minute set headlining, that's nothing compared to 4 hours playing for nobody.
Yeah, sure.
You learn a lot about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Being up there solo acoustic.
And I've also learned a lot about music. It's like, you know, I'm not the best guitar player, but when I moved there, it's like, okay, you do this and this and this, and this is how that works.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Because, like, Zach at one point was my only friend outside of school.
Yeah.
And once school was over, all my friends moved back home. So
yeah, it's the end of the semester. Yeah.
And so I had nobody. And so Zach was the only guy my age.
And he can play on the guitar. Oh, yeah. He's a great guy.
I didn't know how good he was.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, hey, what's this chord? And he'll pull it out. So he's really good. And it's like, all my friends are like 40, 50 years old on Broadway. And it's like, I'm learning from them. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting to soak it all up. So how many guys you got in the band? And tell me a little bit about the boys.
So, of course, Zach. I met him playing downtown. That's how I met Zach. You know Zach.
Yes, very well. Yeah.
Yeah. So Zach's on rhythm guitar, and like, I'll put down my guitar sometimes and he'll just play. Cord Bradley. So most of the guys I met on Broadway.
Yeah.
That's where the whole overall thing came from, because he will wear overalls as his daily fit.
Every day.
Just that's putting awesome. On overalls.
I love it.
Yeah. He's from Mobile, Alabama.
Hell yeah. That's where the Muscadine boys are from. Yeah, that's great. I love
he's
Mobile.
He's a stereotypical Alabama boy.
That's great.
Yeah. He's
you
awesome.
Need one of those. Yeah, you need one of those. Builds character. That's
dude,
awesome.
And our band is so diverse. It's like Zach's from Florida, Cord's from Alabama, our drummer Kendall, the best guy. He's so great. He's from Illinois.
Yeah.
And then our bass player, he's like alternative. So it's like all these different sides
of
music.
The guy with the long hair, right? Who's the guy with the long hair?
That was my buddy Isaiah.
Isaiah, he filled in on that gig with you. Yeah.
Yeah, but we went our separate ways right now. Yeah, okay. But he's still my boy.
Still your boy.
But we got a guy named Pork.
Pork?
I went to school with Pork. Yeah.
Pork.
His name is Pork.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but he's
where's like, Pork from?
I want to say here.
Okay, yeah, so he's really a unicorn, so he's a local.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so it's like Pork. All these different people coming together from totally different backgrounds, and it's like, you know, it creates this awesome sound, and it's really cool.
Yeah. What was the drive out to Clemson like, riding out there with everybody?
I didn't ride with them.
Oh, you didn't?
No, because, you know, the bus that we got.
Oh, yeah. Tell everybody about this bus. I love that you're doing that, and I remember when Dylan Marlowe did something similar.
Yeah, so
Dylan had a bus very similar for a long time.
Yeah, it's a green school bus.
Okay.
And, you know, we ripped out the inside, put beds in there and everything. But I was like, look, so Zach, Pork, and Kendall took the bus, and Cord drove by himself because he was in Alabama.
Okay.
And so I was like, look, boys, I'd love to ride with you. There's no heating in this bus, and if this bus breaks down, I'll be right behind you and I'll pick you up. And so sure enough, the bus did break down.
Oh,
and they're about 30 minutes from Clemson, and they had to call one of the frat guys to come pick them up.
Oh geez.
But yeah, I didn't ride with them, but I slept on that bus for that night, and it was cold.
Yeah,
yeah. But Zach's doing some work to it right now. He
That's
took
good.
It to Florida.
Yeah, he seems to know what he's doing because he was showing me pictures of it. Mm-hmm. Like, he knows what he's doing mechanically, which is important to have a guy like that in the crew for when something does break down. Because inevitably it happens. I've broken down a number of different places. Mm-hmm. That trailer wheel bearings fire off when you're like 40 minutes out of town in bumfuck Kentucky. You know, like, shit just happens when you're on the road, dog.
Yeah, but it's fun. You know, I love that. Those shows have been like one of the best memories of 2024. Yeah. It's just like going out there with the boys, you know, doing whatever, hanging out with them. It's been pretty cool.
Well, hopefully you get a lot of those this year. I have no doubt. I mean, you sell it at Eddie's Attic, you're going to get more shows in the Southeast.
All right.
Yeah. That's what happens when you do that. Mm-hmm. At the very least, you'll get another show at Eddie's Attic. But I'm sure you'll end up bouncing around to some different things. Man, where are some spots that you like hanging out in town?
That Cigar Lounge. Yeah. I'll go there with the
Casa Monte Cristo. Fucking awesome.
Awesome, man. I'll go there with the Empire Boys sometimes. Okay. They'll have their little like once a month parties there, and I'll hang out with them there.
The Empire Boys. So who are the
Jake Gear? No. Jake. Who's the head of Empire?
Is Don Lewis in that with that crew? Have you met Don yet? Because I know Don's over at
Empire. I don't think I've met him yet.
He's playing the anniversary show as well. And Don was like, he was on the Cowboys for a little bit. Like, he's a former like football player.
Wow.
Big dude. Yeah. But big fan. The middle-aged women love Don Lewis. We always joke. Nikki T and I always joke. We're like, ladies love Don Lewis. So that's cool. We got Don kicking off the anniversary show next week. He's over at Empire. So okay. I think you'll get to meet him, and he hangs out at Casa a lot. Yeah. I know.
Okay.
Yeah. But Casa's cool, dude. It's just the cigar selection that's in there. I don't know how into cigars you are.
I've
you
never really smoked a cigar, nah.
So you just go there and hang out.
Yeah, I just go there, hang out, kick it with them.
So you don't even have a cigar?
Mm-mm, no.
Why not?
I just don't smoke like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, if you want to have, like, cigars, like, that's something that Nick and I can definitely put you on.
Yeah.
It's some good. Because that's, like, I was there the other night with my dad. We had to move my sister into Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking... all this, she's on the third floor of this apartment building, no elevator.
Yeah.
And my Apple Watch said I climbed 76 flights of stairs in about a 2-hour period. It was absurd. But then we had cigars after, and it's like, that cigar lounge is like a world-class cigar lounge with the selection they have in there. There's stuff in there that you can't get other places. Like, other shops don't get what they get around the world.
Pretty
so
cool.
If you do get a wild hair and want to have a cigar, it's a great place to do so.
Yeah. I mean, the first cigarette I had was with Post Malone. Like, that was the first time.
Yeah, tell me about that.
That was wild.
Tell me about that night, because that I remember seeing the picture of that. I'm like, what is little Duke doing out here with Posty? How the fuck does this happen?
Yeah, so I was at the Empire after party for CMA, and I met Shabuzi there and talked to him for a little bit.
I've heard he's a good dude.
Yeah, he was cool. Yeah. And then after, Dre's the high school teacher, and so Dre... he knows Cortez Bryan.
Okay.
And he's head of CAA, and he's been like Lil Wayne's manager and Nicki Minaj's manager and Drake's manager.
It's a whole other world.
So he knows a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how they know each other. And he was like, yeah, there's this party. There's another party if y'all want to go to it. It's like Big Loud or something. And I was like, we're there. We're going there right now. So we went there. And there's like Caleb Presley, like, Glenny Balls.
Yeah, all the Marcus Barstool King. Guys.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people there. And I met Post Malone before, like a week before that. And I was just like, hey, what's up, Post? And I think he remembered me because that was the night Gone came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, my song Gone. And so we talked for a little bit. And then Shabuzi came over and we were all talking. And then Post was just like, you want a cigarette? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I was like, I don't really smoke. You know, like, I've never done this before. And Shabuzi was like, you just got to press it. It was one of the Camel Crushers, I guess.
Oh, no. So the press the menthol.
Like, press it right there and just take a drag. And I was like, all right. But it was pretty cool. It was really awesome.
That's a wild moment to just have.
It was so random. But it was awesome.
That's the best part about Nashville, though. You never know who you're going to see, what you're going to get into, who you're going to meet. Like, everybody's here, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody's here.
Yeah. I remember at, I think it was after one of the rounds that we played, we went over to Losers. No, I think it was in Losers. It was after everything was done.
Yeah.
And Kid Rock was there.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty cool. Zach was like fanboying. He somehow got his number. Did you know that?
No.
Zach got Kid Rock's numbers somehow.
I don't we did a year touring with Bob when I was with Trey. Mm. We spent a whole summer on the road with Kid Rock.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, it was fun. You see a lot of shit. Yeah. I can tell you that much. Yeah, Uncle Bob, John Daly's always in there, dude. I love being in the Losers Duck Blind family.
Yeah.
And it's been a blessing to be over there because they do such a good job. Like the ownership over there does such a good job of making those guys or girls feel comfortable, like having that little private area for them or to where they know like the culture in there where they're not going to get heckled or bothered by people like they would on Broadway, which is nice.
Right. Yeah.
So what are some other spots you like hanging out at? Like,
I don't really, honestly,
you don't really go out on them.
Not as much as I did, but I love Losers. Like that's always the go-to is just go to Losers.
Well, we love having you there.
Yeah. I love it there.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
But I used to be big on Broadway.
Because that's where you played, man. That's where you worked. So it's like that's where I would go too when I first moved to town. I was a fucking Broadway boy. I quit drinking before I even moved here, so I wasn't even drinking down there. I was just pounding Red Bulls, just going fishing in the big blue sea that is Broadway. When you're a single dude at 23 and moved down here, you see a lot of shit, man. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But isn't it amazing what a different world like Midtown is from?
I love Broadway. I got put onto it, and I was like, I'm never going back to Broadway. I haven't been back since.
You won't go back until you have friends in town that want to go there.
Yeah,
it's the only time I go down there is if there's friends. Luckily, my family's been coming down here so long that they don't even want to go down there.
Right.
They're like, we'd rather go to Losers and Red Door and Duck Blind. Mm-hmm. We're like, perfect, perfect. That's exactly where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is hanging out there in those good places. What food places do you like around here?
Jack Brown's,
love big Jack it. Brown's guy.
Yeah, Jack Hell Brown's, yeah. Dino's.
Okay, Dino's. East Nashville. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
You like you're a burger guy.
No, I'll get at Dino's. I'll get a burger, the animal style burger.
Yeah. So what do you get at Jack Brown's?
The grilled cheese.
Your grilled cheese guy.
Those are, it's like $4.
Have you been to a Losers outdoor show yet?
I haven't. No.
So next year when we do them. We're going to be, there'll be a bunch of those going on next year.
Okay.
They have a grilled cheese food truck.
Ooh.
I think it's Mighty Mouse or something Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the grilled cheese is fucking top notch.
Really?
You get grilled cheese with bacon there. Fucking chef's kiss.
That's sick.
It's great.
Yeah. Y'all did one for Riley Green, right?
So we helped out. That was our first one that we got to be involved with. We emceed it was the Loser's birthday and like the Riley Green grand Duck Blind grand opening. It was Riley headlining. Uncle Cracker played that. Ella hopped up, which she's been a good friend of ours for years. Jamie Johnson. Who else? Drake White, Castellos.
Mm.
Like, it was a night just all over the place, just chaos. But that was a cool one. And we're I think they said there's going to be about a dozen of them next year.
Wow.
With different people playing out there, which is going to be sick. Because out there at full capacity with... Because you have the rooftop and you have the patio that like kind of looks out at the parking lot, and then you have the deck upstairs. So you factor all those people in, and then everybody that's in the parking lot holds like 3,000 people.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. It's a big crowd out there.
Yeah.
So
they're
a lot of fun. But next year, definitely come out, get you a grilled cheese. I'll even buy you the fucking grilled cheese. You know?
Well, thank you.
Grilled cheese, and then the Zin trucks there too with the dollars in cans.
Yeah.
I made a deal at that show. I gave the girl like selling him behind the counter a hat, and she gave me 9 cans of Zin. I was like, this is a great trade for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Take that shit.
Yeah.
So cool. I finally run out of those. So now we're back to almost getting close to buying Zin again, which I'm not too happy about. Nah, but
yeah.
Are you a Zin guy?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Sixes or threes?
I try to go to threes.
Try to go threes. See, yeah. I used to be a cigarette smoker, so I have to go sixes. I have this company that mails them to me from South Carolina. They're called Zemo.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking eights. I think I had you try one. Forget if I had you try one. I've had people try them, and then they take them out right away because it just burnt. 8 milligrams is a lot to the face, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, my buddy, he found some at a random BP, and they're like 11s.
Oh, yeah. I got buddies in New York that do like 30s.
That's
I'm like,
wild.
What? I'm like, you fucking animals.
Yeah, I mean, that's what people in Sweden do.
Yeah, like, there's people that Canadians do like 30s or 40s. Yeah. I'm like, fuck.
Canada doesn't have Zens, though.
No, they have, like, all these other.
My buddy would go across the border and, like, buy, like, 60 of them and then go sell them for, like, 10 bucks.
Bootlegging, man. That's what some of my buddies and their dads would do. They'd take drives down to Florida from New York and stop in, like, the Carolinas or Georgia and buy cartons of cigarettes and be selling cigarettes. Be selling cigarettes for, like, $8 a pack. Because they're like 14 a pack in New York.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's funny. So looking back, so you moved here. How long has it been again?
About a year and a half.
About a year and a half. What's something that you would tell like that year and a half? So like summer of 23 when you move up here, what's something that you would looking back, like tell yourself?
Start now, probably. Yeah. Don't worry about school, you know. Don't get into that one relationship, I guess. But, you know, I mean, that's, like, I try to draw, well, I do draw, like, real-life situations that I'm going through into my music. So it's, like my producer, he was, like, you haven't told me anything that you were going through, but I can tell from when you were, you know, sad and upset and in this situation to when you're not, even just based through your music and what you're writing about. So it's, like, but, you know, you live and you learn, and I've gone through a bunch of stuff even since I was here, but it's like I put that into my music.
Yeah.
And it's like connect with people because I know if I'm going through it, then somebody else is going through it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen, dude. So this next one, what are we thinking the next one's going to be?
One Way Street.
All right. So what were you going through when you wrote that one?
I mean, the hook line is how fine can I really be because I love someone who doesn't love me.
Ooh.
And so it's
That friend zone shit, dog. Yeah. Oof. We've all been there, dog.
Yep, yeah.
How long ago did you write that one?
Maybe six or seven months ago.
Okay. And who was, do you remember who that was with?
Yeah, it was with Donnie Van Slee. Okay. I wrote that with him. Yeah.
One Way Street.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start posting snippets of it soon.
Dude,
I need to.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything we can do on our end to help you.
Yeah, well,
like,
thank you.
You know, you're a proud, like, younger brother in the family. You're part of, like, the latest class of, like, raised rowdy kids, which we're so happy to just get to watch you grow and have you. Thank you for playing our events as much as you do, rocking the hats, enjoying the sponsors and all that. I know you got some signs hung up in the studio.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. Yep. Yeah, we were just up in Philly with the guys that run and own Surfside. We were telling them, like, yeah, our buddy's got it, like, hung up in the studio. He's like, oh, we'll send you more signs. Like, yeah. Give them to everybody. Get everybody hanging them up in the rooms that write their songs.
Yeah,
so,
that's sick.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. And I appreciate y'all, man. Like, seriously. Like I said, like, you know, going through a rough time in my life. And it's, like, just now, these couple past months has been, like, I've been great. Like, it's been the best time I've been, like, ever in my life. And so it's, like, that era where I was like playing those shows and like doing whatever, it was like that's what I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
So and like I said, like my music represents me and it's like matches. True story. You know, like all these songs, all these unreleased songs, it's like you can tell. So it's like that was really what I was looking forward to, and I appreciate you.
Dude, absolutely, man. Anything we can ever do, we're happy to have Duke Jones in the music family of Raised Rowdy and just the overall family, dude. Like and just anything that we do, you and your crew are always invited out.
Thank you
know,
you,
anytime that we're doing something, you come party with us and kick it, man. We love having you around. So people aren't following you yet. Is it, I forget if it's just Duke Jones or it's Duke Jones Music.
It's Duke M. Jones.
Duke M. Jones. What's your middle name?
Martin. I'm a third. Yeah.
Is that what the, okay. So yeah. Cause I know like Ward is like a fourth and like Trey is obviously like a third.
Yeah. That was my nickname, Trey. Like when I was growing up, I didn't start going by Duke until I moved out here.
Really? So you were what, Trey Duke?
No, I was just Trey. My full name is Duke Martin Jones III.
Okay.
And so people just call me Trey.
Okay. Yeah. That's like Trey Lewis's first name is Lewis. He's Lewis Thomason III, but goes by Trey Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same with like Trey Landon or Trey anything. That's wow. I didn't know you were a third. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Well, I think Duke Jones is a good name to go by, man. That's if you pick the right artist name, man.
Right,
like you said, authenticity and you being you. But people can follow you at Duke M. Jones.
Yep.
You got some great songs out. Spotify numbers, man. Congrats on like a first like full time year of doing this, man.
Yeah,
you're gonna look back and be like remembering where you were at the start of this year and then looking at where your numbers are at the end of next year and be like, holy shit. Like, this is going to be that rocket ship year for you, dude. I can feel it, man. We get so many people that ask about you when you're playing. Like, I know that all those deals that you're wanting to get and all those steps you're wanting to take, like, there's people out there that want to help you take those.
Right.
So you're in as good a spot as anybody could be in, brother. So we appreciate the fuck out of you. And thank you for doing this, dog.
Of course, man.
Y'all be sure to check out our boy Duke Jones. You can follow him, Duke M. Jones, on the social media's platforms. And look up Duke Jones. Go stream the songs. And I'll be on the lookout. New music coming close to, what, every 6 weeks, you said?
Yeah, trying. Enough for it.
Trying for every 6 weeks. So be on the lookout for later this month. New track, One Way Street.
Mm-hmm.
One Way Street coming out a little later on this month. And be on the lookout for any shows that Duke is doing out of town. And, of course, any of our events here in town. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. They make Stateside Vodka. They make Surfside Iced Tea, Lemonade, Green tea, the flavored lemonades, the half and halves, the peach tea, all kinds of good shit. No bubbles, no troubles. Go surfing with us. Check out our friends from Surfside. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my man Duke Jones, I'm Matt Barilla. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve.